Hello, everyone. Let me get everything set up. And let me get my coach pulled up. I'll go over a few announcements. We'll get to teaching a little bit about the people pleasing today. I pulled together a few additional notes this morning that I wanted to cover because I think people pleasing is something that is just, as women, we adopt that mindset quite easily. A lot of us are just conditioned for that mindset. So please don't feel like you're broken, wrong, bad. Like it's like a negative trait. If you are a people pleaser, I'm going to dispel a lot of those myths today. Let me get Lisa up. For some reason, Zoom has taken a hot minute. And then let me get the chat and the Q&A. So if you have questions, you can ask them in the Q&A. And let's see. So everybody's wanting to know about Chris's margins. Let me start off with a little personal. We did get the initial test results back. His margins are clear. So the 6-inch portion of the colon that they took out, everything came back clear. So that's good. The only thing we're holding on right now is we are waiting on the lymph nodes. And we're not 100% sure, like Chris and I would do very well to study things a little more, but we're not sure if there's a second test coming back for the lymph nodes. I know they took lymph nodes out, but I was telling him, I was like, I figure that if they said everything's clear, like the margins are clear, they probably also mean the lymph nodes, but he has a surgical appointment tomorrow to go for a follow-up. And he's going to ask that question tomorrow. I actually have a gynecology appointment around the same time. So every stinking doctor's appointment I have not been able to go to. I've been out of town or something. And I know that Chris is a grown-ass man and that he can figure all this out himself. But I will just say his grown-ass wife tends to have way more questions than he ever does. And it's not that he's not thorough, y'all. I'm going to tell you, Chris is probably one of the most thorough individuals that I've ever met. So when he gets his results and stuff back, he reads like deep cuts studies on the internet and stuff. Like he goes real deep, but there's like some stuff he's just never in a rush. And I think it's because he doesn't worry, which is a good thing. So, all right, I'm going to turn on the captions so that y'all can see them. I think they are already on. I'm not 100% sure. We have set it up on Zoom to automatically come on. So if you ever want to look at the captions, you just need to hit the button on your side of things. But I have turned them on for the call, even though it's hard for me to see those words moving while I'm also talking. If y'all ever saw my screen, I've got the Q&A box. I have the chat running. I have the captions running on top of everything else. So when people ask me, like, how do you focus? I'm like, I have no clue. I've never been good at focusing. I know a lot of you, I've never been diagnosed, but if I had to guess, I could definitely be on an ADHD spectrum. My brain works in like 1,000 directions at all times. It always has. And, but I don't know, I guess, where there's a will, there's a way. I figure it out. All right. Let me go over a few things. Oh yeah. Don't forget that if somebody is typing in all caps, it's our coaches. They are not yelling at people. They are literally just making sure that you know this is a NoBS team member talking, because when we have a lot of, when we have a lot of people chatting in the thing, we just want y'all to make sure you understand, A, someone with training and authority is now speaking. Pay attention, ladies. So that's why we do that. All right. So if you're here and you're brand new to NoBS, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a Q&A call. Usually with Q&A calls, I start off with teaching a little something that is very important when it comes to your weight loss. Then we move into just general weight loss questions, sometimes on the topic. So if you have questions about people pleasing, now's your time to start populating the Q&A. If you just have rando questions because you're here and you want some answers, Coach Lisa is in the chat and she will cover those. Sometimes I cover them, but we try to let a lot of the questions that I answer be topical to whatever we're discussing for the day. And then these calls are optional. So always remember, inside of NoBS, for all of you, I don't care if you've been here a day or 365 days, the live calls are optional. We offer those as like a service for you. So I want you to always remember, as long as you're doing the NoBS course and making your plan and learning how to just pay attention to your body, have less judgment of yourself, more compassion for yourself. We seek here to do a lot of the work that goes on in No BS. It's not physical work. It's not how many hours did you watch things or how many worksheets did you do. Working inside of No BS is so subtle. And I think that's why it's really hard for a lot of you to transition sometimes to the No BS way, because your past conditioning is weight loss is hard. It is a lot of work. Number one, you have to cut out all the foods you love. You have to try to find foods that fit your new little protocol or meal plan. So you spend a lot of work in the very beginning just ousting things from your pantry, working through innumerable urges and cravings because you've gone from relying on these foods to now you just can't have them. And no one transitioned your mindset. They just villainized foods. So there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of overwhelm, a lot of that stress in typical diets. You come here and we're just like, whoa, we're going to feel good. We're going to love ourselves. We are not going to talk down. We are going to eat all the foods. And we take away a lot of the rules and all this other stuff. And with that freedom, you're just like, wait a minute. My brain has clearly been trained all my life. This should be harder. This needs to be more difficult. Why am I not spending tons of hours in the kitchen food prepping? Why am I able to go out to eat? I should be not able to go out to eat. I should have to tell people no. Like, it's so contradictory to everything that you've been taught that you freak out. It's like, well, I'm supposed to be overwhelmed. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to be like, there's just so many videos. Look, bitch, here's what I want to tell all of you. If I said, we're going to lose weight watching videos, would you be like, the hardest program ever? What would you prefer? To watch videos and get your mind right and drop all the shenanigans around cleaning out pantries and cutting off all your favorite foods, not being able to eat unless, I don't know, God grants you a wish. No more being hangry all the time. Y'all, get your mind right. Here's your choice. That's actually hard. Like when you're like, it's so overwhelming, videos. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? You know what's overwhelming? Never getting to eat what you like. Do you know what's overwhelming? Being told you can't eat the food you enjoy. And you also still have to talk to yourself like shit. No one's working on your mindset. No one's working on how you're there for yourself. No one's unraveling self-care for you. No one's doing that. Hard dieting is not No BS. It is not some worksheets and it is not some videos. Hard dieting is being told you can't eat these things and you only get about a thimble size amount of food at every meal. And while you're at it, I don't give a shit how you think about yourself. We just gonna lose weight. That's hard. My job is not to leave you sitting around worried about food and sitting around holding on to your crap ass mindset. And look, all of us got a crap ass mindset. I'm not calling anybody out. Ain't nobody worse than another. You cannot grow up in this world and not have a crap ass mindset. You can't have a functioning brain without having one. So if you actually listen to some of them fucking videos that you say is overwhelming or too much, here's what ends up happening. You start understanding how your brain works and why it works the way it does so that you can relieve yourself of the hard part of judgment, thinking you're not doing enough, wondering what's wrong with you. We get rid of all that shit, and I promise you, making a 24-hour plan ain't grueling and excruciating. If all you got to do is write down food without worrying you're doing it wrong, thinking you're not good enough, going back to your past and be like, ooh, all the times I failed, and sitting there thinking, well, everybody else can lose weight, but I can't eat these things. You take all that out, and I teach you how to quit doing those shenanigans. Guess what? You just make a fucking plan and eat when you're hungry, and you stop it enough. It is your brain that is standing in your way. So it is important for all of you to stop thinking that what we do here is hard. It's actually not hard. What's hard is it's running into your belief systems. So that's why I coach y'all so much on belief systems. How do you stop thinking about your past and start thinking about what you can do for yourself today? How do you stop trying to cut out all the foods you love and let's just include them, but not rely on them? See, that's the magic of being able to eat the food you love and lose weight. Y'all have always ate the food you love as a way to cope with life, as a way to deal with things, as a way to people please. You know, I don't want to say no to my mama. I mean, she made that pot roast just for me. Even though I don't want it, I'm not hungry. I don't want to hurt her feelings. We got to get over that bullshit if we want to lose weight. You can eat the pot roast. You just got to be hungry and you just got to actually want it. But nobody gets thin eating foods to please others. I promise you, your body keeps a score. It's like, we weren't hungry. Who the fuck you trying to please? It sure ain't me. I would have told you if I needed something. That's the stuff we have to do to lose weight. That's why I'm like, y'all, listen to the content and do some stuff with it. But it ain't going to take a lot of time because so much of losing weight has nothing to do with time activities. It's noticing when you're eating something and your body doesn't need it. And no, you don't have to go journal in that moment. You just have to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm so glad I noticed. I know it's going to be uncomfortable because I have always ate. I even went into this situation expecting that I would want to eat because the last 10 times I went to my mama's house, that's what I did. So I'm not even going to act like it shouldn't be here. It's going to be like, here's the urge. Here's the urge to want to eat mama's pot roast. There she is telling me I'll hurt her feelings if I don't. And here's me thinking I'm probably going to hurt her feelings. And here's me feeling a little bad about it. But here's me also knowing she ain't going to be thinking about this in 3 days. Here's me also knowing I could probably tell her no in a nice way. Here's me also thinking that the more often I tell her no with a smile on my face, compassion in my heart that she ain't going to get it just now, eventually I'll retrain her. And if she sees me happy and if she sees me losing weight, instead of offering me pot roast, one of these days she's going to say, what are you doing? Like every time you come over here, you're in such a better mood. You see, you're not worked up anymore about telling her no. You're not going in on pins and needles, just waiting for her to offer you food and thinking, what a bitch in the inside. You're just showing up differently because you decided to be different and you're waiting on her to see the different you after 10 or 20 efforts. And then her brain's like, something good's happening here. All these years, I thought pot roast made her happy. I think I'm starting to realize when she's not stuffing her face, maybe she's happy because she's actually here with me. Those kinds of relationship shifts can only happen when you are working on the right things in your weight loss. They don't happen on keto. And they don't happen because you happen to be going to the gym every morning. And they don't happen because you're on pins and needles all day long, only eating from a restricted meal plan. These kinds of shifts and changes happen when you start learning that it's more than just exactly what you're putting in your mouth. Okay. Let me look at my notes. All right. So everyone, I want you to save the date for January 1, we are having our first big workshop of the new year. If you know, in NoBS, we do 3 big membership workshops throughout the year. This is our first one. We did one last year. It is included in your membership. It will start at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. If you go to the events tab at nobswomen.com, you can get all the information about our New Year's kickoff workshop. And I know some of y'all are going to be hungover like a fucking drunk skunk. That's fine. Watch the replay. As always, everything happens in a replay. But there are a lot of us, like people are always like, oh my God, why would you pick January 1st? Because bitch, not everybody goes out drinking on December 31st. Me included. For the last few years, I've had a big ass workshop I've been doing. I've had to work on January 1. Not everybody does that. Here's the other thing. If I was to pick January the 5th, there'd be another big group who would be like, why are you picking January the 5th? Why didn't you pick January 1 when I had a day off? There ain't no perfect fucking day for me to pick to kick y'all's ass when it comes to weight loss. Everybody take a collective blow out the bullshit. No perfect days are coming. So what I do is I pick a good day that I know I can fucking show up. And then I just expect you to show up. And if you can't, then you pick your best day and you watch that replay and you pretend like you're in the room with me. Problem solved. So January 1st, 9:30 a.m. Central Time, we're going to be kicking ass all day long. I think we're going to about 2:30 in the afternoon. So you'll have plenty of time to take a break, do all the stuff. So here's the deal, though. If you have friends outside of NoBS, I highly encourage you to invite them. It's $19. Number one, they get to try us out. But let me tell you why this is a benefit to you. How many of you are already dreading Isagenics, Optavia, all you bullshit friends that are going to like, woo, whole 30, hard 75, here I come. Oh, by the way, I'm going to do Weight Watchers for the 1400th time, and I'm going to make sure to text you every day about all the changes they've made that this time I'll be able to do. You all have hopeless dieter friends. Every fucking one of you. I don't know a soul that don't. Like, seriously, I am a damn weight loss coach. I think I'm the best one in the goddamn industry. And guess what? I got friends that don't even belong to NoBS, and they call me up and be like, tell me your thoughts on Weight Watchers. I'm looking at 75 hard. What are your thoughts? I'm always the same. Here's what I'm going to do. I always tell my friends, I do not promote my competitors. If you want to try it, that's great. But I'm not in the business of making sure you, of researching and guiding you on how to use programs that are in direct competition with me and that suck. And that's usually what I tell them. And they still ask me every damn year. So if people are yammering about diet nonsense all around me, I know y'all got people. So if you want your 2023, the first 60 days to be a lot simpler, here's what I would do. I would start right now before they have bought or committed to anything to lose weight. And I'd go get the link at that events tab for our workshop and send their happy asses over there and say like $19 for one day. Will you just try what I believe in? It is unlike anything. And if you'll just come to this workshop, you'll probably see how it's unlike anything else out there. If you can get onto the workshop, here's my promise to you. I'm going to teach my face off all day long because I want all of you started off on the right foot for 2023. And then at the very end, I dismiss y'all. And then I sell my face off to the people who come to the workshop. Because I want them inside of NoBS. I do not want them, especially if they're your friends. The last thing I want them doing is leaving the workshop and then going and buying all that bullshit, then jabbering in your ear, making your journey harder on you. I don't want that for you, and I don't want it for them, because we all know what happens with those diets. They fucking fizzle out, and they're expensive. They're not getting coached. They're not leveling up their life. Half the time, they're just being told, just lose weight, without changing their self-esteem, their self-care routines, their self-love, without examining their key relationships. They're not becoming a different version of themselves. They're just losing weight, and losing weight usually unhealthily or miserably. This shit has to end, y'all. And it's not going to end unless more of us are speaking up and putting it out there that there is a better way. So if you would like your 2023, at least the first 60 days, when we're in the workshop, we will be talking about how important that first 60 days is. January 19th is called Quitter's Day, because that is the average day that everyone quits going to the gym, losing weight, or any other result, smoking, whatever else that they said they were going to do. And most people never make it to 60. So our goal is to get everybody through 60 days of reinventing their life with food and themselves. So let me help them. Invite them to the workshop. Get them signed up. And then if they come to the workshop and they love us and they're like, oh, she cusses and I got all my water in for the day and I have a plan and all this other stuff, they will be able to use that $19 towards their first month of membership. So it's a win-win. All right. So I'm excited to see how many of you actually can drag some of your diet sorry but friends along for a better ride in 2023. Also on December 19th, which is next Monday, the new pathways are releasing. So you've probably heard us talking a little bit about pathways. You've seen some people talking about it in the membership. It's real simple. We dropped a quick hits about it last week. This is where when you finish No BS, we are redesigning the self-study resources to where there will be four clear, distinct weight loss pathways that address a very specific issue. It's going to be great. It's something to look forward to. We are just trying to make everything in No BS so much simpler for you. I just don't want y'all to ever feel like it's hard or time consuming. I want you to come and be excited about pushing play. I want you to be excited that everything that you're learning is something that you can use, that you can do, that you're willing to try. You may be nervous. You may still have doubts it won't work and stuff. But I promise if you just keep pushing play, eventually what happens is you hear our positivity more than you're hearing your negativity. And a lot of people just need that. And then some of you are worried that we're not going to have enough content in 2023. Do not worry. I have an amazing content plan. The biggest shift in content that we're making is rather than a new course each month, we're going to have an actionable thing we're doing each month. So it'll be like a challenge. There will be content that always comes along with it. There will be do this week to lose weight. A lot of next year will be like, here is something to do this week that's simple and applicable, and let's lose weight. So you're going to see a lot of that in 2023. We had 20 people join the Queen's Club last week. Awesome. We also had four more people reach the Maintenance Club this month. That's amazing. And now let's get into people pleasing. Why people pleasing gets in the way. So first of all, people pleasing gets in the way because it makes someone else's needs more important than your own. Okay. So when we are people pleasing, what we are doing is we are saying, I'm going to do this thing because I have decided, not them. I've decided based on because you asked, because you demanded, because I think this is what you want. And I'm trying to like feel my way in a dark room to make you happy. Whatever the case may be, people pleasing is where you're going to decide to do something simply to make someone else happy without taking in consideration if it makes you happy. Now, this is a big difference. Sometimes we want to people please. There are times where I used this example not too long ago. like I was really busy a couple of weeks ago. We had Chris's surgery coming up, had a lot going on. Like in order to like take some time to be in the hospital, we didn't know how sick he was going to be. Thank God I had done all my work ahead of time, because I ended up staying at the hospital 24/7 and like sleeping in a chair. So I would have been pretty useless working. I did do some work, but I didn't have any work that was relying on me. Well, Logan really wanted to go to the mall for our annual Christmas trip. And I didn't think we would be able to do it. I didn't like from the way that we had painted it out, I would be like basically not able to leave Chris for a few weeks. So I didn't want to go. I just didn't. Like I wanted to be here and working. I had 1,000 priorities, but then I have my baby who wants to take this annual Christmas trip. People pleasing would be me saying yes and then resenting going. Me saying yes just to make him happy while not really wanting to go. But I looked at my reasons and I was like, yes, there are lots of other things I would like to be doing. But in this case, I do want to do this because he wants to, because I love him. Even if it's not something I choose, even if I have better things that I need to be working on, even if I can have all this stuff, in this moment, I want to please him. That's the kind of mother that I want to be. So people pleasing, we have to first distinguish. Are we doing, like sometimes we call things people pleasing, but when we really look at it, we're not. We're also pleasing ourselves. Even if we would rather do other things or whatever, at the end of the day, it's like, but I'm going to do it. I just think I should. So we have to walk that balance. And I'll always like to talk about this because a lot of times I think we say we're always people pleasing. It's like, there is good in people pleasing. Where people pleasing goes wrong when it's solely at your expense. When you feel like you have no other option. When you're only trying to do it to make someone happy. So here's the difference between people pleasing and being nice. So first you have to look inside and you have to ask yourself, do I genuinely want to do this? I may not love it. I mean, this might not be my first choice and stuff, but at the end of the day, do I genuinely want to do this? And maybe you do. And if so, that's not people pleasing. That's just sometimes what we call making a hard choice in the face of, I'd rather be doing something else. Another example, and this comes up with Logan too, is a lot of times in the summer, I want to sit by the pool and Logan will want to come out and talk to me. And if you know my child, he wants to talk about Russian history, like Russian opera history, or the state of affairs in North Korea, or, you know, latest studies on what's happening in the planets. I am sure some of you would be fascinated as fuck to be having those conversations. Not me. Like, I want to talk about exercise, business, weight loss. I like TV. I like to talk about TV. He doesn't even watch TV. So very often when I'm out there and he comes out there to talk to me, I sit there bored as fuck, sometimes even wishing he'd talk about something else or wishing he'd just go back in the house so I can have some peace and quiet. But I listen. And I just tell myself, this is part of my mothering. Mothering isn't always happy. Mothering isn't always, you know, like shiny glowing moments. A lot of times mothering is boring. You'd rather be like, who would you rather talk to, a 3-year-old or a 35-year-old? There's no shame in that game. But it would be people pleasing if I just sat there and made myself do it, thinking I won't be a good mother if I don't. People pleasing would be, I'll hurt his feelings if I don't. If I really didn't want to talk to him, I would probably just tell him, Mama needs some alone time. Come back in like 20 minutes. So we just have to understand our reasonings. Sometimes we are doing things simply because someone else wants us to, and you would feel bad if you didn't do it. A lot of times that's more people pleasing. It's like, how could you say no and you not feel bad about it? A lot of times when we give up people pleasing, we go black and white. We think, I either have to people please or I have to be a bitch. And this is why a lot of you can't stop people pleasing. Because if the only alternative, like if you basically put yourself into two no-win situations, I either have to be self-sacrificing or have to be a selfish bitch. This is the way I like to think about it. I like to think about, how can I stop some of my people pleasing in a way where we both win? Sometimes that means honesty. Sometimes that means their feelings are a little hurt, but when I look at the long-term picture of the relationship will be better with honesty than it will be from my manipulation and lying. A lot of people pleasing is also manipulation. You know how to get people to say and think and do things based upon how you show up. And if they think, say, and do these things, then you allow yourself to feel loved. Then you allow yourself to feel worthy. So you become a master manipulator around people. You know where to volunteer. You know what to say and do to certain family members and stuff, to always look like the good person. And we just want to look at all of this. This doesn't make us a bad person. It means that over time, we missed the message on internal validation. We were taught performance equals love. If anybody ever went to school as a kid and got any kind of decent grades at all, you know, you are rewarded for performance, not for effort. I am one of those people that went to school. Let me take a drink. I was really smart. Like, I could give half-ass effort and make great grades. I knew how to bullshit teachers. I can't tell you how many exams, if it was, God help me, if the exam was a written report, A+. I could write pages of bullshit and not know dick about the topic. But I knew which teachers were not going to read every word, didn't give a damn what I said. They'd just be like, well, she wrote like 3 pages. And they'd read a paragraph or two and be done. I literally gave no effort, but what I learned in school was that effort didn't matter. What I learned in school was how you present does. Now, in some places, that's fine. In some ways, that works beautifully for me. But in others, it sucked for me. Because when I was trying to lose weight, then I would just try really hard, but I would have the message in my head, but effort doesn't really matter. And it's like, you know, effort does matter in some places. And in some places, effort's more important. But I never learned that until I got to be an adult, where I had to start learning the difference between like manipulation and effort and things like that. So, a long way to go of just saying, watch out when you're people pleasing. Am I trying to manipulate the situation in order for somebody to think, feel, and do something so that I can then feel this way? That's a classic sign of just people pleasing. And so I like to ask myself, one, is there a way that I can just not do this, but still believe either I'm loved, I'm worthy, I'm okay, I'm enough, whatever it is that we're looking for, whatever that self-validation is, can I say no and still believe this about me? If so, I don't have to people please, and I don't have to work so hard for people to love and respect me in my life. I start learning how to go with the flow of normal ups and downs in relationships, surprise and delight and disappointments and things. So one of the things that you can do is you can use the four N's when it comes to people pleasing. The first step is that you want to notice when you're doing it. So without changing anything, this is where I was talking about the ease in losing weight. You do not have to go stop, drop, and journal every single minute. I want you to do this when you're out in the wild of the world. Start noticing, oh, here's another time when I'm people pleasing. Most of us know the people that we do it with. Most of us know the things we typically do that we would consider people pleasing. And most of us know the circumstances that arise where we slide into our people pleasing mode. So I just want you to get very aware of it without judging yourself. The whole goal is to be like, I want to catch it as often as I can. It's kind of like a Where's Waldo. I want you to find all the people pleasing Waldos that you have in your life without going like, ew, it's another Waldo. Oh my God, I'm doing it again. None of that. If you judge how often you find it, you will stop looking for it, because every time you judge when you find it, you're going to feel bad about yourself. And what is our brain not like? It does not like feeling bad about itself. So if it finds it and then it feels bad about itself, it stops looking. So now you're just stuck with people pleasing. So what we want to do is we want to find it and be like, good to know. This is what's going to help me become someone who knows exactly when they want to be people pleasing and exactly when they don't want to be people pleasing. So it's like a fact-finding mission. The second thing is you're going to ask, like, why do I think I do this in these situations with these people when these things happen? This is just step two. So we're going to notice all of our people pleasing Waldos, and then we're normalizing our people pleasing Waldos. We're just going to ask the question, what am I getting out of this? Most of the time, we like what we think are self-destructive behaviors always have some type of positive reason behind them. I've been talking to y'all in the Facebook group about this. Like, somebody the other day could not understand why, if she's beating herself up over overeats, how that could be a positive thing. And I said, well, let's think about why your brain would be doing that. It's not that it is beating you. What we want is the outcome of beating yourself up. Beating yourself up is highlighting what we want. So what we need to do is teach the brain how to think about what we want without the beat down. But the brain is just trying to be like, I'm just trying to get an outcome. And the only way I know how to do it is to beat you up every single time. It's the only time you seem to be paying attention to your weight loss and to overeating is after the fact. So if that's the only time I can get you to pay attention, I'm going to do it this way. So that's the positive reason why it's doing that. It's just the method is faulty. So we want to normalize why we do the things that we do. Because sometimes our method to get what we really need is just faulty. So we just need a new method so that we can still get what we need. And then we want to break it down into neutralizing, which is just what are the facts? So like, as you're noticing when you're people pleasing and stuff, a lot of times our people pleasing will sound like, if I don't do this, then they'll be miserable. Then they'll think ill of me. But what is the fact? Mama offered me pot roast. That's it. And the more that you're like, okay, these are the only things that are actually happening, the rest of the narrative, that's all of the story I've created in order to people please. If you're a people pleaser, you have to justify doing it. So you have to create elaborate stories around boring ass facts to justify doing the people pleasing. So the more you start seeing a lot of that as factual, separate from a justified story, you free your brain up for the fourth one, which is, how might I just handle things differently? Like, if this is just what's happening, how can I handle things differently where we both win? Or where I win and they're not as pissed as I think they might be? Or I win and the relationship in a few months, when they get used to the new me, starts flourishing and winning more than it is now. A flourishing relationship is not just where one person's happy. A flourishing relationship is where both people are flourishing together in the relationship. So we got to know the difference between people pleasing and being nice, which we already talked about. We can use the four N's. And then the last thing that I want you to think about is, do not worry about becoming selfish. I hear a lot of you who are chronic people pleasers worry. It's like you'll say things like, well, I'm just going to tell my family what it is now. I'm just going to have to be selfish. That is going to backfire on you. I have just not met anyone who says, I'm going to start being selfish, who's been a people pleaser, and that not feel gross. You do not have to be a selfish bitch to not be a people pleaser. And that's the fallacy. So I want you to change your thinking on this. Number one, when you start taking care of yourself, I want you to ask yourself, when I do these things for myself or stop doing these things for other people, how is that winning for both of us? What are the positive outcomes for both of us? So, like, sometimes you stop doing things for your kids and they just become more responsible over time. There may be a few months where they do a shitty job at taking care of their room or whatever, and you have to sit there and suspend your judgment while they get better at their new responsibilities. You also have to suspend your judgment when they suddenly think it, like, they start screaming how unfair it is. Like, what's unfair is I do everything and blah, blah, blah. Have empathy. If you have always wiped their asses and noses and spoon-fed them like a mama bird, and then suddenly one day you're like, now thy take care of thyself, it will feel alarming. If you don't like change, don't expect them to like change. Can you be patient through the process of them learning, of them bitching, of them moaning, knowing, of course they're complaining. I've been people pleasing and I just changed the contract of how we do things. I love it when everybody gets all worked up if, like, Netflix charges $2 more and everybody's writing letter campaigns and, oh, I'm going to, you know, stop my Netflix and blah, blah, blah. If people can get worked up about $2, don't be shocked when your loved ones suddenly are like, what do you mean I got to do for myself? That doesn't mean you're selfish. It means they're having an adjustment period. So don't make it mean something about you. Just be patient. Be understanding. Nobody is supposed to get this overnight. And then most people that I've ever run into who are people pleasers, you're generous to a fault. You have a heart of gold. And if you're not generous to a fault or have a heart of gold, you're so fucking afraid that people aren't going to like you that that's why you people please all the time. You run negative 10% risk of ever becoming selfish. If you start feeling selfish, it's false. That is just a brain error happening in your head. And that's what you have to do, is you have to allow yourself to feel selfish and realize it's not because of what I'm doing. All feelings come from my thoughts. So if I say no to someone, I don't do something that I normally do, I cut back on volunteering or whatever it is that I do, I'm going to have a thought about myself. And if I'm feeling selfish, or guilty, it's because my brain is having a faulty thought about this situation. My job is to find that thought and be compassionate with myself and prove it not to be true. This is perfect things. Like, as you are stopping people pleasing, to take to ask coaches in the moments when you feel selfish, in the moments you feel guilty, in the moments when the world reacts like, can't believe you're doing this shit to me. That's what you take to ask coaches, and you let them help you navigate that thinking. Now, how does all this make weight loss easier? Most of the time when I'm coaching, quite a bit of nighttime eating in particular is happening because of people spending their day ignoring their basic human needs and doing for others, and doing for others, not from being genuinely kind, not from you're just a Mother Teresa who has an abundance of giving. You're doing it because you're afraid and you're paranoid and you're worrying about what other people think. And you're doing it because you don't think you have an option, or you're doing it in hopes that if you do this, finally you'll feel safe and liked. And when you operate all day long like that, by the time the night comes, you do need a break. You need a break, not from people pleasing, from all of the thoughts that you have about yourself. And at the end of the day, you're emotionally worn out. Of course, you're turning to food. So if we lessen all of that, you have more bandwidth for natural food urges at night. So somebody asks, so what do you do when someone else tells you that you're selfish? Okay, that's just a fact now. They've said you are selfish. The fact isn't that you are actually selfish. The fact is, I notice someone just said, I'm selfish. Here's how I would respond to myself. I bet they do think I'm selfish. How have I trained them to think that me doing this would now be selfish? How is this my responsibility? Most of the time, if somebody calls you out and says, ooh, now you're being selfish, it's probably because you've spent years teaching them that they get whatever they want. And it comes across really selfish to them when you change the game and you end that contract. It's like you just tore the contract up and threw it up like a confetti and said, aren't you happy? Why are you not thrilled that now I'm doing me and not doing you, when you've been my primary concern this whole time? And your bitch ass is sitting there being like, I just don't understand. Why would they call me selfish? I'd like to first and foremost take responsibility for it. I probably taught their asses that I was unconditionally giving. And if I just say no to something normal, I could see why they might have an overreaction. So the first thing I do is I don't get mad or defensive or take ownership of their thought. Like, I don't be like, oh my God, I should go back to people pleasing. Somebody thinks I'm selfish. I must be doing this wrong. No, I must be doing it right because somebody called me selfish. So how could this be something that I just got to wait out? People call me selfish. I'm like, you bitches call me selfish. I can't tell you how many people ride into Help Scout and tell me about all the selfish things. God forbid I miss a Sunday call. Somebody thinks I'm just, I guess, rolling around in the world being selfish because I take a day off. Do you think I believe them? No. I think I'm misunderstood sometimes. A lot of the times. I guarantee you there's probably nobody in this membership who gets more open, critical feedback than me. I get it in the Facebook group in front of thousands of people I love nothing better. I love it when y'all, it's almost like y'all forget that I exist. I think y'all think I only exist on Zoom or maybe in a little TV box or something. But I, you know, I'm like y'all, that Facebook app. Many a time I'm laying in bed at night and something boring's on TV and I'm a scrolling. And then I find a nice thread of like 80 or 90 of you all talking about me and something that you don't like that I've done. And I'm misunderstood very often. Rarely do I justify things. It would be easy for me to go in there and defend myself and explain to you all my business reasons. And so, but here's the thing. I know I spend a lot of time thinking through every single thing we ever do in this membership. I know the amount of work that's involved. I know the impact on lives. I've usually got data to support changes we're going to make, how it's going to impact. And I know that every decision I make always has somebody left who thought differently. And when I'm okay with that, then I can just feel a little hurt, a little caught off guard, a little indignant. But it's so little that I can give myself a moment to breathe and pause, have like first understanding of me and then understanding of you. That's what I want for y'all. We're not doing all this so that no one ever gives us negative feedback. We're not doing all of this so that everyone around us, including us, is always happy. We're doing this so that in the moments when people aren't, we're all still winning in some way. And, you know, most of the time I just think they just don't understand me right now. But they will. I tell the team all the time when we make a change, I'm like, we already know there's like 10% of the people that this is not going to make them happy. They don't like change. And I get that. Nobody does. But as long as our intentions are right, and this is what I want you to think about, as long as my intentions are in a good place, and I'm considering everyone, especially myself, because I can't just only consider others now. I need to consider me too. In the end, things tend to work out. And then there's little bumps in the road. And if I am getting more rock solid with me, I can smooth the bumps out to where they're not derailing me. They're not wrecking my life. All right. Let's see. My ex is coming to Christmas for the first time since our divorce 20 years ago. I agreed to please my adult children because he demands a lot of their time over Christmas. And I thought if I agreed to his being at Christmas, he would not be so demanding. Wrong. All three of my kids have now pleased him by agreeing to host him over Christmas and Boxing Day. I tried to please them and it backfired. I feel resentful, sad, and embarrassed that I was fooled again by my people pleasing. With this is Catherine, this is one of those places where I would decide, were you really people pleasing or were you just trying something new? And what can you learn for next year? And then it says, all three of my kids have now pleased him by agreeing to host him over Christmas and Boxing Days. I would also look at, are they just trying to please him or do they love their dad? Sometimes, you know, like, especially with divorced families and stuff, you just love your parents and you're just trying to do the best you can. That doesn't always roll into people pleasing. So what I would do with this situation is I would kind of just so that you're not sad, resentful, and embarrassed all the way through. First of all, you have nothing to be embarrassed about. He didn't fool you again. You tried something different to see if you could get a better outcome. You tried something, the outcome doesn't seem to be any better. So you learned for next year. I would never be embarrassed about trying new things. That's just part of life. I would be proud that you decided to try something new. The other thing is resentful. Don't resent anything. Just be like, this is what's happening. We all did our best. How can I not people please going forward is the real question. what is it that I could now do throughout the rest? I mean, you got plenty of time. Was there like 10 days until Christmas? You got 10 days to not make this all about him. You could sit for 10 days resenting, still being embarrassed and sad. That gives him all the control. That's not you people pleasing anymore. That's not him taking advantage. That's you not keeping your mind space clean and just deciding, how can I enjoy this Christmas? How can I put the focus on my kids and not him? What's in my control? And am I willing to do it? That puts you in a different headspace. Marty, so I've always been a people pleaser. Now I live with my sister and brother-in-law and feel like I always have to make them happy. They tend to be involved in everything I do, including I eat, even though I fix my own meals. They are also judgmental and tell me all the time I am too skinny. How do I set boundaries so that I can be confident that I'm a grown-ass woman and not a little sister? How do I stop feeling guilty for when she acts like I have hurt her feelings? So if she acts like, probably she's not acting like you hurt her feelings. It sounds like she might have a mismanaged brain, just like we all have mismanaged brain. Her feelings are probably really legit to her. That doesn't mean you caused her hurt feelings. It means you did something, she has thoughts, and she feels bad. So first we have to just see that piece of it. It's like, oh, her feelings probably are legit to her. That doesn't mean I'm responsible for them. It doesn't mean I caused them. It probably means because she thinks these things. And just give yourself some space so that you can allow her to have whatever feeling. Because right now, what happens is with people pleasing, you're trying to like manipulate the situation in order for her not to have hurt feelings. And she has a mismanaged mind. So that makes it even harder. So the easiest thing to do would be to just have understanding of like, okay, when I want to do my own thing, she thinks this. And you could just ask her or you could guess. And that's why she feels hurt. Sometimes you just have to say, and I'm okay with that because she always gets over it. Or that's just how she reacts. But at the end of the day, it's not derailing her life. She may just be emotional about certain things. Certain things may trigger her. I don't really know what went on in her life before me. The other thing is like, how do I set boundaries so that I can be confident that I'm a grown-ass woman? So we don't set boundaries until we actually are confident that we're a grown-ass woman. Otherwise, you're setting boundaries that you may not actually need in order to feel a certain way. And what we want to do is we want to work on you realizing, I already am a grown-ass woman. And so if I'm a grown-ass woman, do I take everything personally that they say? Does a grown-ass woman worry about what other people are feeling, or do they just have compassion for their feelings? So it takes it back to you again, because the only people we can ever control is ourselves. That's why people pleasers are so exhausted, because they realize I can't control everyone. And then the last thing is, I have to make them happy. Well, it sounds like to me, especially with the sister-in-law or your brother-in-law, or at least your sister, you might as well give that up. I feel like I have to make them happy. And even when I'm trying, I'm not. So let's just try to stop making them happy. Let's start understanding them. And then figuring out where are there places where I'm like, you know, it's no skin off my nose if I eat with them, or it's no skin off my nose if I do these things. And then where is it that I'm like, I'm going to do my own things. And eventually they'll get used to this version of me. They will adapt. In the interim, they're probably going to tell me a lot of their opinions, and that's okay. All right. If you have any more questions about people pleasing, here's what I would do. I would take them all to Ask Coaches. Be specific, though. A lot of times y'all want to bring general topics. The best way to get coached is to, like, kind of like what Marty did. She gave like a more of a specific situation. like, if you want to work on the general topic of people pleasing, then pick a circumstance, a person or whatever, say, this is where I normally people please. This is what's always happened. Tell a story, because then that gives us something that we can really work on rather than just generalized concepts. All right. Now have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.